Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast. I'm very pleased to be joined this week by Father George Drance. Welcome, Father George.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, Father George is part of performing a solo performance of the Gospel of Mark for these 2 weeks, and this is produced by La Mama ETC in association with the Magis Theater Company's Logos Project, and it's taken place on East 4th Street here in New York City. Maybe, Father George, you can start by just explaining how you were inspired to do this.
Sure. Well, I've been an artist in residence at La Mama ETC for quite some time. ETC stands for Experimental Theater Club, and they're New York's longest-running experimental theater, started over 50 years ago by Ellen Stewart, a remarkable individual who's really given so much of herself and really promoted the careers of many people who are the staples of the American theater right now, and one of the founders, really, of the Off-Off-Broadway movement. I started working with La Mama about 16 years ago, and I've been doing many ancient texts with them, mostly ancient Greek. But this was a chance to do something of my own, and I've always been fascinated with the oral tradition that is behind the Gospels. And to hear in my theology studies that Mark was probably recited long before it was written down, and the writing of the Gospel was probably taken from many of these recitations, it began to plant a seed in me, and years later, to have the opportunity to do it is really quite a wonderful grace. And it's been a great experience to live with the text, to try and investigate it, wrestle with it, smooth certain things that are a little bit hard for a contemporary ear, but remain true to the original impetus, the original essence of the text. So it's been a fascinating, wonderful, grace-filled experience for me.
Now, you've spoken a little to this, but, you know, why Mark versus the other Gospels? Is it because it's the first? Is it because it's a little, as you say, it comes from this oral tradition?
Yeah, and I think if you look at the way the Gospels are written, or if you look at the language or how it's structured, one of the things that was most evident in looking at the text that's most close to the Greek translation is almost every sentence in Greek begins, and then, and then, and then. Now, we spared the audience that, because that's a little bit like a young child who tells a story. And even though the gospel tells us to welcome the kingdom as a child, I think that could get tiring for an audience. But the use of the word immediately, the use of how they went from place to place, it's really, you can tell as it's spoken that it was meant to be spoken. So that's really why Mark more than anything else. Also, just logistically, this is running about an hour and 40 minutes. If we were to do any of the other Gospels, they would be much longer than that. And probably it wouldn't be as conducive to an audience as this text, which was originally meant for an audience, a listening audience. The refrain that comes through over and over again is, anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear. So that's rather than anyone who has eyes to read. And it's really wonderful to hear audience reactions. And in the midst of the show, while they're hearing it, to listen to their impulses, see how they're moved or they're challenged by certain things, and to take that and put that into the performance as well is really a wonderful experience.
Well, it sounds, as you're speaking, that this story that Mark tells has a real narrative urgency. You know, it lends itself well to the form of theater. I consulted with a friend and a member of America's board who's seen this play, and she said it's really gripping. She said, she joked, you know the end of the story, but she was still on the edge of her seat. So is that a tribute to Mark, that he wanted to tell this story with a certain urgency?
I think so. If you look at the original context, this was written to a community that was experiencing intense persecution. And the other refrain of the gospel is, fear not, have faith, believe. And I think whenever something like that is so evident in the text, it really means that the opposite is probably happening in the community. So fear not tells us that there's a lot of fear. Believe means that there are people who are falling away. And throughout the parables in the gospels, Jesus tells us that certain people will hear the word and fall away. And we see that throughout the narrative as well. So I think what this was, or the urgency that was part of this in the original hearing, was to a community that was experiencing intense persecution, a really probably tremendous loss. To think of what Nero did to the early Christian community is just so gruesome. But the way that they stuck together and overcame it and really formed bonds of love and unity, it really speaks to the power that this text probably had in their lives.
Now, this production, you give it a contemporary spin. We don't want to give too much away, but can you speak a bit about the approach you took?
Sure. Well, what we wanted to do is get it away from other presentations of the Gospel of Mark that have happened over the last 20 years or so, where, you know, people show up in a tweed jacket or a little rocking chair as if it's a bedtime story. Well, I think there's a lot in this performance piece that really tries to say this was to people who were at risk being in the audience. It was probably outlawed to speak these words. It was probably considered an act of treason or an act of defiance against the state to do this. So we started to think about what are some contemporary parallels. What's underground culture today as opposed to underground culture in the first century? And one of the images that we came with, because we knew we wanted to illustrate the text in certain ways and bring out certain things, for example, just how much territory the disciples covered when they were going with Jesus and just how much Jesus and his disciples were constantly on the road, we knew that we wanted to bring this about visually, graphically somehow. So we came up with this idea of a street artist who goes from place to place and tells this story, and very much inspired by some of the New York street artists whose scrawls you see on the sidewalk or on the walls. And this is probably an act that would get them at least a fine, if not arrested. So there's a little bit of that. But we found the more that we investigated that connection of this underground expression that's kind of like what we see in contemporary graffiti, it brought us back to the fact that the early Christians actually communicated through graffiti as well. The symbol of the ichthus, or the fish, was kind of their secret symbol to let people know when it was safe to find other Christians or where they could go to find support or to find a celebration of the Lord's Supper or a gathering of other people who were like them in this greater society that was persecuting them. So we took a lot of the ancient symbols that you find in early Christian graffiti, and we used that in some of the presentation, some of the ways in which the street artist, who is Mark, who is the storyteller, who is the evangelist, weaves this into the presentation to punch up certain things that help the audience see it as it's being told, but also to give a sense of what it would have been like to feel it, what it would have been like to be part of a movement that was a little bit undercover, a little bit not recognized by the status quo, a little bit dangerous.
Now, when I think of Mark, I think of kind of a stark story, you know, not embellished like some of the other Gospels, little bleak at points. But my colleague who saw the play said she was surprised by the humor that's in it. So there's that, too.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I'm very interested in as a theater practitioner is how to take people on a journey that actually helps them to hear the story. One of the things that we studied in the last production that we did at La Mama, which was a 4th century Sanskrit text called Shakuntala and the Ring of Recognition. We studied the Natya Shastra, which is a classic Indian treatise on theatrical practice. And one of the things that they say is that all of these 8 basic emotions should be presented to the audience almost like a banquet, that there ought to be these different tastes so that at the end of a theatrical evening, they should have a complete plate. That's kind of in the unconsciousness of how I approach a text or of how I approach a work. But in finding that, we realize that there are jokes in the gospel, the way that the evil spirits that come out of the man possessed by Legion go into a herd of swine. I mean, that's definitely something that's probably a little bit more on the humorous side, or, well, the irony of it. Just some of the ways in which the disciples are constantly trying to get it, but not getting it quite. The compassion that Jesus has for them as they struggle to enter the kingdom, but with their feet still immersed in the world that really draws them out of some of the insights that Jesus is trying to give them. Those are the things that make the humor come out and make it a little bit evident. Some of the juxtapositions of what the expectations of the people are in the moment and what the narrative has said has been the reality of Jesus up to that moment. Those juxtapositions as well provide some moments of lightness or of, oh yeah, I never realized that, or I never thought of it that way. But when you hear the story from start to finish, you realize that within the structure of the story, it's really written into it, these moments of irony or these moments of, well, how do we not get it? Why is it? It that our hearts are hardened? Why does it take us so long to understand these things that Jesus tells us over and over, that he shows us over and over? So there's a lot that's in there that is fertile ground for that kind of lightness.
Well, we should mention that this is going on right now. It's Thursday through Saturday performances, Sunday afternoon performance. You can buy tickets at lamama.org. We'll mention that again at the end. So we would encourage people to get out and see it. I wonder what you mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, what it was like to, what it's like now. I mean, you're going to be performing tonight to inhabit this text. I mean, you've memorized the entire gospel. It's something, I'm sure you've read it many times, but it must be an entirely different experience to live with it in this way.
Well, it really is. And sometimes it's really, it's hard to describe, but as I approach different roles, sometimes what I realize is that the text lives in you and it kind of makes its home in you. Now, because of that, I'm very careful which texts I allow into my organism. And there have been roles that I've been offered, or there have been opportunities that have been presented to me that I just have told either my agent or a casting director or a director who wants to work with me on this project. I just say, well, you know, this really just doesn't interest me, or it's not a project that I think is going to be good for me. Simply because the repetition of it, and we know this from Ignatian spirituality, that repetition allows for a deepening. So to be able to repeat this, to go over this over and over again, not only to commit it to memory, which is the first step, but then once it's committed to memory, to allow that ease, to allow that breath, to allow that spirit to take you to places where you're going to discover new things. There are going to be new things about the text that are revealed simply because we hadn't heard it in context, or we hadn't seen the dramatic action really carry it through to that point. So it's been a really privileged moment for me in my spiritual life to live with the gospel in this way. And you mentioned that some of the other gospels have a little bit more embellishment or a little bit more a kind of lightness that sometimes Mark can be quite stark. I think it's, for me, a sobering reality as well that, you know, if I do consider myself a Christian and if I am trying to follow Christ in his footsteps, am I willing to do that in this manner? Am I willing to accept these difficult realities, but do it with the hope and do it with the faith and the lightness and the joy and really the belief that the Spirit will take us through and that God's presence is abiding with us? So it's been really a tremendous experience for me to hold this text and to try and give it breath, try and give it voice each night. And it's a little different with each audience because people hear things differently. The energy of an audience varies from night to night. So to imagine myself as someone who might have been an evangelist, might have been a storyteller at that moment, and what it would have been like them to travel from place to place, to perform this for groups of people who might never have heard the story for the first time, or might never have really committed themselves to it, although they know about it. So entering into it that way has been great for me as a performer, but also very much in the same way that Ignatian contemplation allows us to place ourselves in the gospel. There are so many moments that I now can really just sit with at a much more inhabited level because it is performed every night, because it's shared with an audience, and because it's repeated over and over.
Now, you mentioned the audience. I mean, you have a sense of what kind of audience you're getting. Is it a mix of believers and non-believers? Or I assume that's not something you get into. But I imagine being in New York, you're going to get a real kind of variety of people coming to see it.
Yeah, it really has been a mix. And, there would be a lot of people who are non-believers who really wouldn't come to see something that's based on the Gospel of Mark. But they have friends who want them to. And so very often you see people bringing friends. And what we hear afterward is that people expected it to be a little preachy, a little bit of a kind of a lesson or didactic. But the story is just really a remarkable story. And I think one of the things that's really different about theater as a medium is it has the ability to take a story like this and to really get at the humanity of it. So I think even people who aren't familiar with the gospel, people who aren't aware of it, people who have really thought they made up their mind about it. I had one person say, well, I know this story backwards and forwards, or at least I thought I did, but I never imagined what it would be like to hear it for the first time. And going to the performance, I felt as if, maybe much like your colleague said, knowing the end of the story, but being on the edge of her seat, to have it revealed, there's something about a masterpiece, and I consider the Gospel of Mark a masterpiece. Aaron Copland, in one of his essays about what makes a masterpiece, talked about inevitability. And I think that's one of the things that when all of these pieces, which we hear at Mass in reading after reading, when it comes together, you see the inevitability of the story from start to finish. And yet, inevitability is not predictability. It's not the same thing as predictability. Inevitability is afterward, you say, of course. And where predictability is of before it happens, you say, of course. So I think that's really one of the things that's remarkable about the experience, is that if you know the story, if you don't know the story, the way it's written is you have these aha moments several times throughout. Oh, that's what that means, or that's what that means, or I've always wondered about that. And a number of people have come up to me and really said that they've had those experiences where things are revealed to them in a new way, and where it comes alive to them in a way that they really didn't expect it to.
Now, one question is this something, I mean, my colleague's a teacher and would love to show this to her students. Is this something that can be captured on film, or do you think it's really a theatrical experience? It's kind of hard to get that same energy.
Well, I do think that it's primarily meant to be in a room with people, talking to people. I think that's what community is. I think that's what conversation is. Again, in the spiritual exercises, the meditation on the Incarnation talks about a conversation between the people of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of trying to look at the world and conversing with each other about how to save the world. And I think there's a conversation that doesn't quite happen on film unless it's a conversation between different characters that we listen in on. But even then, we're somewhat removed, we're somewhat passive. This is a demanding piece. So I think filming it could work, but we'd have to make up for that in certain ways, and we would have to re-envision it to a certain extent. It would be an interesting challenge to see, and who knows, it might go there, but it would be really great to have an extended run of this, or to have a place where it could go from town to town the way the gospel did.
Well, for those who still want to see it, it's still playing now here in New York City. And again, you can go to lamama.org to get tickets. Father George Rantz, thank you so much for taking some time to talk about it.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.